Hi, everyone. This is Christine Carter. Welcome back to Cracking the Habit Code, 21 Days to Keeping Your Resolutions. And we are in the second to last day, day 20. And today we're going to talk about how to respond to setbacks. So three things we're going to cover today. Knowing the difference between a lapse and a relapse, not falling prey to the what the hell effect, and specifically what to do when you fall off the wagon. So the first thing is to really know the difference between a lapse and a relapse. A lapse is just a slip up. A relapse is repeated slip ups or actually falling. So I like to picture myself climbing a large hill. Your resolution is climbing a hill. And whenever we're hiking or whatever, we will often slip. We'll get out of breath. We will want to stop walking. These things are all normal. In fact, 58 to 71% of people slip at least once in the first 30 days of trying to keep a resolution. So for me, actually, I don't hear, oh, wow, the vast majority of people have a slip up in the first 30 days and of course, beyond. I think, who are the 30% of people who can do this without making a mistake, without having a slip up? I think, you know, obviously it totally depends on your resolution. But in my experience as a coach, everybody has slip ups. It's really a part of the process. It's totally normal. And it's better to think of this process as taking two steps forward and one step backward. This is what it means to be human. And this is how we make changes. We take little steps, putting one foot in front of the other, and sometimes we fall down. Now, hopefully, we don't fall all the way to the bottom of the hill, right? So a slip is not a fall all the way to the bottom of the hill. A relapse is not just a slip or a fall, but it's repeated falls. It's recurring errors. It's something that's a little bit more catastrophic that happens again and again. So it's really important to recognize that if you have a bad day, you're not necessarily going to have a problem ongoing. In fact, we know that whether or not you have slip-ups in the first month or so of trying to keep a resolution, that does not predict whether or not you will still have kept the resolution in a year. People who are successful, ultimately successful in a year, definitely do make slips. So how do we respond when we slip? The first thing that we really want to focus on is identifying why we slipped, because then we can work to prevent the next slip. So why did you slip up? Were you on vacation or traveling? You know, what we're trying to do here is get into a new habit. And if you change your environment, like by going on vacation or traveling, then you're pretty likely to increase the odds that you'll err. So forgive yourself for that. It's totally normal. When you get back home, you got to get back on it. And then gradually what you can do is expect to be able to keep your resolution across different scenarios, across different environments. So for me, exercising while I was traveling it's actually, to be totally honest, it's still always a little bit tricky. But first I got into the habit while I was home, and then I worked on business travel, and then I worked on when I'm actually just vacationing. And sometimes I just, you know, let it go when I'm on vacation because I'm doing other exercise things. And what I found is that it doesn't really screw up my habit when I'm home. So my anchors are so different. Okay, so maybe there was some other major change in your routine, like maybe your kids were home from school and they normally aren't, and that sort of screws it up. So just sort of identifying where things went wrong. Maybe there was a major temptation in your path and you could eliminate that the next time. It's really important to identify that. So maybe you're trying to cut out sugar or to eat really mindfully, and instead of eating your lunch mindfully, you watched television because your spouse was in the kitchen watching television. Okay, so there's the temptation. How can you eliminate that in the future? Really important, this next bullet point. What is your plan the next time you encounter a similar challenge? So the key takeaway for today's whole class is that we need to use our slip-ups as opportunities for improvement so that the next time that we slip, and we will, we're higher up on the hill already. So when we, some slip-ups are just opportunities for us to learn kind of what those challenges are and to plan for them a little bit better. But it is really important to make that plan. So what is it that you will do when you encounter a similar challenge specifically? And so maybe, you know, you'll call somebody for support next time. How will you respond to the challenge? And then how will you respond if you slip again? So something there's something that's really important, I think, for us to be aware of. And it's something that researchers jokingly call the what the hell effect. Formally, they call it the abstinence violation effect, or sometimes you see it written as AVE. And what this is that once we've made a mistake, our tendency is to stay down and sort of slide down the hill, right? So this you see this most obviously with people who are dieting. So say you're restricting your calories to, I don't know, a couple thousand. I don't even know what you would restrict your calories to, but say you're restricting your calories to 2,500 calories a day, and you blow it at lunchtime and have all your daily allotment of calories at lunch. The what the hell effect comes in, or the abstinence violation effect comes in when you just stop counting calories that day. And it's, you know, the idea is, you know, I've already blown it today. What the hell? I'm just going to eat whatever I want for the rest of the day. Or if you, you know, rationalize that you're not going to exercise because you're too tired, you know, you might just give up the next day as well, right? So you need your sleep. I'm going to sleep in. Even if it's kind of counterintuitive, if you've blown it for the day or for the week, you know, that's the what the hell effect. You know, if I don't do something tomorrow because I didn't do it today, because what the hell, the week's already blown. That's the mentality. And it's really, really common. It's normal to have this. It's just there's something about our human brains that tends to do this. So what we just need to do is be aware of it and to know that the more damage that we do today, the harder tomorrow will be. So we might think, okay, well, it's just not that big a deal if I miss the whole week exercising or if I eat the whole chocolate cake. Today, tomorrow, I'll start counting calories again, or I'll get back on the exercise bike again. But it does actually matter. So it matters in three very interconnected ways. The first is just in terms of progress. So if you are dieting, which is where a lot of the research has been done here, I don't recommend dieting, as you all know, if you've been following this course, but you know, it matters how many calories, how much you weigh tomorrow is totally affected by how many calories today you ate. So it matters how many calories you eat. So think about this as how far are you willing to let yourself slide down the hill? The farther you let yourself slide because of the slip, the more you're going to affect your confidence, whether or not you actually believe in yourself, whether or not you think you can do it. And in turn, this affects your self-efficacy, which is kind of the factor of whether or not you can actually get yourself to get back up and start climbing up that hill again. It affects whether or not you can actually do it. So it's really important to make sure that we don't fall prey to the abstinence violation effect or the what the hell effect. So how do we respond specifically to setbacks? I'm going to give you some do's and don'ts. Don'ts first. We don't want to freak out. Lapses, as I've said, are to be expected, and they really don't predict whether or not we'll actually keep our resolutions. So it's important not to get too emotional about it. that to just accept it as something that's normal. We really don't want to berate or criticize ourselves. So we have this mistaken notion in our culture that if we are hard on ourselves, or we're hard on our spouses or our children, if we don't accept mistakes, we will try harder later. And in fact, this is just a myth. It's not true. When you're hard on yourself, when you criticize yourself for doing something, you actually decrease the odds that you'll do better the next time. And the reason is that it's very stressful. Criticism, whether it comes from yourself or from others, is very stressful. And when you stress your brain out, it's not good stress either. It's not motivating stress. It's alarm stress. When you stress your brain out, you end up going into a fight or flight kind of a response. And that fight or flight response directs blood, sugar, and oxygen, blood flow, away from your prefrontal cortex, which is what you need for willpower to be able to direct your actions better the next time. So if you trigger that fight or flight response, even a low level one, by berating or criticizing yourself, you're actually undermining your ability to do better the next time. Feeling guilty goes pretty much in the same camp there. Guilt is a negative emotion. It's usually not very productive. So I just want you to notice when you're making yourself feel bad and be aware of that. I'm making myself feel bad. I'm berating myself. I'm criticizing myself. I'm feeling too guilty that I ate the whole chocolate cake or whatever you did that was a slip up. And be aware that those negative emotions are probably not working for you. Instead, what we do want to do is have self-compassion and self-forgiveness. So those things are positive emotions. And when we have self-compassion, when we say to ourselves, oh, this is a really hard thing that you're trying to do, self, you know, good for you for trying despite the risk that you might fail, right? That's self-compassion or self-forgiveness. You know, I understand that was a really big temptation, or that wasn't a very big temptation, but you were really tired or really stressed out, or you hadn't eaten, or, you know, that I can see why this happened, and I forgive myself for making that mistake. And it's much more possible for me to forgive myself for making a mistake or to have self-compassion for myself when I know that I'm already making a plan for how to prevent it in the future, when I'm using it as a learning experience. So that's the next thing to do. Learn from your slip. What we want to do is make a specific plan to fix that bump in the road that you tripped over, or to prevent the next slip, including creating a plan for how you will respond should you slip again. And I actually wrote here when you slip again, because it's just so common, right? We're not perfect. We're making progress. If you keep walking uphill, if you're really challenging yourself, that's great. You're likely to make some mistakes. So it's important, though, to make that specific plan to fix what might be going wrong. So if you're repeatedly slipping up, think about whether or not you need to make some tweaks to your habit or to your resolution. Can you be more specific, for example, in what it is you'd like to do? Do you need to break it down a little bit more? Do you need to make your turtle steps easier? Do you need to change locations? Or what do you need to do to make that work better? Maybe your rewards aren't working for you as well as you'd like them to be. Or maybe you're just still kind of unsure what your anchor is, and so you haven't properly anchored this as a habit. So what can you do to fix that bump in the road? After you identify the bump, what can you do to fix the bump or to prevent the next slip from happening? So that would be preventing temptations a lot of the time. And then think about a plan for how you're going to respond when you slip again, should you slip again. So you make that mistake, just to remember, okay, so I'm going to say to myself, I have self-compassion and self-forgiveness for this. Or maybe you're going to call a friend for help, to get support, to get back on that wagon. Whatever it is that's most constructive for you in terms of a response to a slip up. Another thing that we definitely do want to do is get up and back on the road immediately. So this means continue to track your progress. So, you know, this would be if you were counting calories, to continue to count calories that day instead of just saying, what the hell, I've already, you know, gone out of my allotment for the day. So don't skip the step of measuring how well you're doing in this. And just try and get yourself back up and walking as soon as you possibly can. So resist the urge to say, today's shot, I'll start again tomorrow. Start again in an hour. Move that start time again up a little bit, if you can. Of course, you can't always, right? Depends on your habit, especially the way that we've got them anchored to specific things in our day. But certainly not letting it go for a week, right? And then the last thing that we can do that can be really helpful is to rededicate ourselves to the resolution. So to think, take a few minutes to think about how dedicated you feel to this, how committed you are. Go back to your day one worksheet and look at what you wrote. Did you write, what did you write about? What motivates you to do this? What do you value? Why, what are you going to get out of this? And why are you really doing it? So to just have a moment to really reflect on why you're going through all the trouble. Because sometimes when we slip up, it can hurt and we can feel like this isn't worth it. This risk isn't worth it anymore. But of course it is. You've come this far. It's day 20. It's amazing. Congratulations on making it this far. I'm so happy that you have. And I foresee a fantastic future for you. So I'm going to end today with a quote from John Norcross from his book Changeology, which I will put on the website with a link to Amazon so that you can see, you can check out this book. John Norcross has been researching how people make behavior changes and New Year's resolutions in particular for 30 years. And he's just a really wise guy. And this book is totally new. I actually, to be honest, haven't read most of it, but I'm very familiar with all of his research. And I think that this is another great resource for you. So he says, we all understand that when we first attempt to drive a car or ride a bike, we'll make mistakes. Behavior change is no different. It's a process of slipping, learning from the mistake, and trying again. All right, everyone, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow for our very last day. Bye-bye.